Welcome to the Bulls Show, your look at the Chicago Bulls from a fan's perspective. I'm your host, Nils, and with me is a guy that doesn't play much defense, but still could have played better defense at the Drew League than Denzel Valentine. Mitch, how's it going, buddy?
Yo, we got to talk about that. That was not great.
We'll get into it in a minute, but also joining us, fresh from vacation and ready to post some off-season workout videos, it's SB Nation's Ricky O'Donnell. What's up, Ricky?
First of all, I am going to post some off-season workout videos, so you're like giving away my future content. But I want to note that I keep thinking Mitch's intros are going to be for me because you keep talking about how he's bad at defense, which also equates to me. So I guess that's just a general theme of the podcast so far.
I just want to clear up that I'm not bad at defense. I just choose not to play it. I don't know what I am at defense. I mean, I could be.
You're like Jabari.
Yeah,
like
Jabari, like, they don't pay me. They don't pay me to get stops.
All right, fellas, on today's show, we're going to be talking about LeBron versus Trump versus MJ, Bulls dunk of the century, even dive into some 2019 summer free agency. We're gonna skip a whole year and talk about summer free agency. But first, we're going to try to help our listeners win some money,
yeah. All right?
Because the sports book at Westgate in Las Vegas just released a couple days ago the over-unders for each team for the upcoming NBA season. Now, just in case for any of our listeners that are not degenerate gamblers like my man Mitch over here, over-unders, it's basically, you know, a prediction of how many games a team will win during the upcoming regular season. The Bulls are set at a whopping 27.5, meaning if you think they'll win 28 or more, you'd bet the over. If you think they'll win 27 or less, you'd bet the under. Pretty simple. The only teams that are worse right now are the Atlanta Hawks at 23.5 and the Sacramento Kings at 25.5. So, Mitch, I think between the three of us, it's fair to say that you are one that likes to wager on such things.
Listen, I'm Mr. Log Vegas. I'm there 2 times a year.
Okay, let me throw a hypothetical at you.
All right.
Let's say that you got 10 grand, 10 G's on the table.
Got 10 G's.
All right? To make this bet on our beloved Bulls.
Yeah.
Are you taking the over or the under at 27.5?
You know, this is a really good line. You know, at first I thought I was going to take the under. Kind of looked at it a little bit, and I think I would take the over, but wouldn't feel super confident about it. The Bulls won 27 games last year, and if you look at kind of the way the league goes, about seven teams finished under 27 games last year, but there were just a whole lot of teams that were tanking. The years before that, 2016 and 2015, there were only three teams that got under 27 wins, so it'd be pretty unusual for a team to get under 27 wins. I think the Bulls will be a little bit better than they were last year, both by the fact that they won't be tanking and that the roster, I think, is just a slight bit better. So I would take the over, but I suspect that I'll be sweating it to the last game.
Ricky, where are you at on this?
I would take the over as well. Just because I feel like there is a lot of talent, but the swing piece, and to me the most important guy on the team this year, is going to be Chris Dunn. Like, Chris Dunn has to stay healthy. Otherwise, there's going to be a huge drop-off between him and campaign. Also, Dunn's going to have to like get all these scorers involved. You got Jabari and LaVine on the wings. Both those guys like to look for their own offense. So he's going to need to be the dude who's setting everyone up. He's also like the only real perimeter defender out there. So he's going to have to take on a pretty heavy burden on both ends of the court. I hope he stays healthy. If he does stay healthy, I think the Bulls can hit this over pretty easily. The one thing that they could also do is sign a veteran backup point guard, which right now they haven't done. Right now, the only point guards on the roster are Dunn and campaign. If they had some sort of veteran, like a DJ Augustine type, I think that would be another thing to push him over. But if I was betting on this, I'd take the over. 27.5. It is what they won last year. They won, 14 of those games with Mirotić in the starting lineup, I think. But, you know, you got to expect them to be better this year, I think.
This doesn't make for good podcasting when all three of us are in agreement here, because I'm kind of with you guys in that I'd take the over, but man, do I not feel good about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just looking at – so here's the thing. I think the Bulls definitely got better from a talent perspective, kind of what you were saying, Mitch, but I think they're going to struggle early and often trying to figure out how all their pieces fit. So I think it is going to mirror what happened last year. So the Bulls started the season last year at 3-20. And then things suddenly turned around with, of course, the return of Nico Mirotic after his broken face recovered from the hands of Bobby Portis. So I don't think the Bulls are getting any sort of, you know, early season jolt of energy or positivity from a guy like Nico Mirotic. One, because he's not on the team anymore. And two, you know, who's going to be that guy? You look at that ridiculous stretch where when Nico came back, the Bulls won 10 out of 13 games in December. And then back to your point, Mitch, about fewer teams tanking, the Bulls finished the season last year at 7-14, but that was against a bunch of tanking teams. Like, they picked up wins against like a Detroit, a Memphis, Orlando. I forget who else, but I remember watching, and I'm kind of embarrassed to admit this, I watched an unreasonable amount of Bulls games towards the end of the season. I'm not sure why. Actually, I know exactly why. I don't know if you guys are familiar with this Bulls Fan Beat app that I'm sure, I would think that a few of our listeners have played before. Or basically, it's almost like a prototype to, you know, this whole sports gambling becoming legalized craze, where you can basically make bets on your phone. And the whole premise of it was 20 questions. If you answer all 20 questions right during a game, you win $1 million. And so that was the only way that I was keeping tabs on the Bulls, because I, for some reason, legitimately thought that I was going to win $1 million, even though it's all predictive and it's very unlikely they actually win. And but anyways, that's just...
And it's trivia questions, but it's also like questions about what's happening in the game. So like,
yeah,
will, you know, Blake Griffin, you know, in the half with, you know, over 18 points, he's got 11 right now.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm kind of hating the fact that this is being recorded and shared with the masses, just because it's going to ruin my chances to win $1 million next year, assuming that they put it on. But anyways, that's just a long way of me saying that it actually kept me interested in Bulls games and kept me watching, because there was actually incentive there for me to watch bad basketball. That being said, yeah, there was some really ugly basketball against some really shady teams, and the Bulls were able to eke out a couple wins here and there because of that. And I just don't think that they're going to have that luxury, especially with the lottery reform that's being put in place next year, where you don't have to have the worst record to have the best shot at the number one pick, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong on that.
Right.
But between no Mirotic and less teams tanking, I think they're going to be right at that 27-28 mark. And like you said, Mitch, I mean, the Vegas line makers do it again and just have us amazed at how they're able to get it, you know, pretty close.
Yeah, two more things real quickly. The Bulls are 18-14 against teams under 500, right? So they were better than their bad peers. But also, when I play over and unders, I love to kind of play against the public perception. And I think the public perception nationally is that the Bulls did a really bad job this offseason, or did a strange job this offseason. So you're going to think that there are going to be a lot of teams that are going to be flooding the under. So you know Vegas always wins. They're not building those casinos because they're doing badly. So I would love to, I always love to come in against the public perception. So that's why I would take the over, but I wouldn't feel great about it.
Let me ask you guys.
The over-under was 21.5. Yeah. And obviously the Bulls hit the over 2 years ago. This was the Three Alphas era, a.k.a. the Bulls Show era. They hit 38.5. How many games did they actually win that year? They won 40, right?
Yeah.
The Bulls are always hitting the over, man. The haters are out there. They don't get this.
Well, no one knew that marketing was actually going to be serviceable and actually be like a top, all rookie team, you know, member. I think that was played a big part.
Well, I think John Paxson knew, so speak for yourself.
Hey, let me ask you guys this, because we were recording this on a Tuesday night. It was just announced that the NBA schedule is coming out tomorrow afternoon. I mean, maybe this has no relevance to you guys whatsoever, but are there any games that you want to see? Like, is there anything that would make you actually interested in the scheduling for this upcoming Bulls season?
For the Bulls?
Yeah.
No.
I want to see a lot of games. I'm excited about this season. I'd love to see him play the Lakers. I think it'd be fun to see them play, I don't know, like Phoenix, like another sort of upstart young team.
I'm pretty sure.
I mean, I'm excited for the league. Like, I would just say that, like, there's no, like, big Bulls rivalry that's, like, a game that I have to see. No, I totally agree with you, Ricky. I think there's going to be tons of fun storylines. Like, I want to see if Kawhi's, like, good at basketball still. Like, what if Dwight Howard isn't hated by the locker room and Washington is not terrible? is Oladipo really good? Is he, like, this elite player? Is he going to take this next step to, like, superstardom? Is Giannis going to take this next step to superstardom? Like, I don't want to say, like this, the league will be fun. I may have misunderstood the question.
Well, also, the reason why I'm kind of interested and actually has some relation to this over-under question, I want to see if the NBA schedule makers bring back the TNT Bulls. They took a little hiatus last year, of course, being, you know, a shitty team. But what's their record right now? It's like a good – I think they're like 14-0 in their last, you know, 14 TNT Thursday night appearances. So, I wonder if that streak gets resurrected this year.
So we probably get a TNT Bulls games against the Bucks, right? The Jabari revenge game.
Yeah,
we'll see.
So maybe that makes it easier to swallow a over bet. But Mitch, you mentioned a lot of compelling NBA storylines. Shifting gears to more of a league-wide view here, odds were also released on MVP and Rookie of the Year. For MVP, the favorites are LeBron at plus 250, Anthony Davis at plus 330, and Giannis and Harden at plus 400. And again, for those non-degenerate gamblers out there, these plus numbers means, for example, for LeBron, if he's plus 250, you bet $100, you'd win $250. So looking at those MVP odds, obviously there are a lot more guys in contention, but of course, worse odds. Mitch, who are you putting money down to win MVP?
So I love two bets here. I love Giannis, right? We talked about this in the group chat. Shout out to the group chat. I feel like Milwaukee's has the opportunity to take a step forward. And I think the MVP voting is a lot about kind of narratives. And if Milwaukee takes this step forward, I think that people will be really excited about Giannis. And that will propel him to, I mean, 4-1 odds. It's not great odds, but I think he's the most attractive bet.
Ricky, who do you like?
I like a couple of these. Kawhi at 15-1. I feel like if Kawhi can, return to form, he should be the best player in the Eastern Conference. So that would give him a chance. Raptors won 59 games last year. Their over-under is only like 53 wins this year. I'd bet the over on that. I'm taking the Raptors. I'm in on the Raptors this year. I don't think they gave up very much for Kawhi. And he's a major upgrade over DeRozan if he's right and healthy. So I like that one. And I agree with Mitch on Giannis. But another narrative vote could go to Kyrie. He's 20-1. The Celtics, if they run the East, which a lot of people expect, like Kyrie's going to be getting a lot of love. He's still going to be taking the majority of the shots for Boston, even as Tatum and Brown come into their own a little bit. So Kyrie at 20-1, I don't think is a bad bet either.
I like the Kawhi pick just because of the whole narrative angle. You know, this guy coming in and, you know, rejuvenating not only a team but an entire country, and all the controversy surrounding his situation and whether he'll stay or go at the end of the season. If he puts up numbers and they end up being, you know, a top seed, that's definitely a good play there. I was just going to say that I also like another Celtic, but not Kyrie. And I don't know if this is a typo, Mitch, but the email you sent has my large adopted son, Jason Tatum, at plus 20,000?
Yeah, he's plus 20,000.
Is that 200? Yeah, that's easy money, baby. this is going to sound blasphemous on a Bulls podcast, but I feel like I need to adopt Jason Tatum as my new D Rose.
This doesn't sound blasphemous at all. You are ready to jump off the bandwagon at any point. Let me point out that you dress your child, your young seed, your real child in all Warriors gear. You will jump off the bandwagon in a heartbeat. Craig. You ain't got to lie.
Look, I've said this before. I'll say it again. As a parent, your main goal is to not only protect your children, but make sure that they have as good of a life, if not better than yours. And you know what? In the foreseeable future, my son isn't experiencing 6 NBA championships as a Bulls fan. So, you know, we gotta get him on that Warriors bandwagon. Even though, hey, there is some late breaking news on that front. You know, for the longest time, my son's favorite player was LeBron James, which sounds crazy, but I think it was just a product of the fact that, that I always had NBA TV on in the background or SportsCenter, and of course media coverage was 24/7 on LeBron. But then last week I asked him, or it somehow came up, and he went, "Daddy, my favorite player is not LeBron anymore." And I said, who is it then?" He goes, "I like Steph Curry now." So I think I'm winning at this whole pair.
One more bet. Listen, you shouldn't put a lot of money on this, but if you're in Vegas, just sprinkle $20. Sprinkle $20 on DeMar DeRozan. Plus $6,300. Like, who knows? Maybe the Spurs sprinkle the fairy dust on DeRozan. People are sick of Harden. People are sick of the Warriors. Neither the Hornets work out or the Bucks don't break out. Like, that's like a little crazy bet that I kind of like. Just for $10, though.
Now you're just having people light their money on fire, Mitch.
Listen, I'm sorry, man. I think I just have this sneaking suspicion that he's going to be way better this year, and that the Spurs are going to be like the second seed. Like, I feel like there's a good chance the Spurs could be like the second seed, by grit and grind. And if that happens, then who knows? I mean, he's their best player.
I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility, just because how many games did they win last year? Like 48, 49,
yeah,
maybe even more. And that was with Kawhi for only 9 games. And now you actually have a healthy DeRozan, who obviously isn't as good as Kawhi, but at the same time is an all-star.
Yeah. Like, if the Spurs are the second seed, then I think DeRozan will be in the conversation, right? It might be one of those situations like Joe Noah in his year where he was like the fourth, but he wasn't like a real serious contender. But I just feel like if the Spurs are good, then somebody from that team may be an MVP candidate. There are a lot of guys out there that have been kind of done it before. It's long odds, but I like it.
Unsurprisingly, I do not see any Chicago Bulls listed under MVP odds. However, there is a Bull under the Rookie of the Year odds, none other than Wendell the Fundamental, a.k.a. the Block Panther.
Oh, my God, we're still doing that.
I want to talk about Rookie of the Year a little bit, just because, again, there's some Bulls relevance here. Rookie of the Year favorites, Luka Doncic. I wrote Luke for some reason. Plus 330. Number one pick, DeAndre Ayton at plus 380. And the aforementioned Wendell Carter Jr. at plus 1,200, so 12 to 1 odds. Of course, not a favorite, but just mentioned him since he is a Chicago Bull. I'm going to go to Ricky first. Ricky, who are you picking for Rookie of the Year, and do you like any of these odds?
I would pick Luka at 3 to 1. I just feel like he's already played against a high-level competition, and Dallas is trying to win. I mean, they got DeAndre Jordan. They're really shooting hard for that 8 seed. They already traded their first-round pick next year to Atlanta to get Doncic, so he would be probably my presumptive favorite. I think Kevin Knox is a good dark horse because the Knicks are going to be trash without Porzingis at the start of the year, maybe even for the entire season, actually, with coming back from that injury. So I think Knox is going to get a ton of opportunity. He looked good in summer league. That could be a sneaky bet. Also, kind of like Colin Sexton at 22 to 1, because nice. Again, Cleveland's going to be bad. Sexton scores, and scoring is what kind of gets you a lot of recognition for awards like MVP. So I think that could be a good one. But how the hell is Michael Porter Jr. 15 to 1? Like, I would put money on Michael Porter Jr. not playing over winning Rookie of the Year. Yeah. He just had another back surgery.
Yeah, I felt the exact same way. That's just like hoping that that his family puts some money on that, right? I totally agree with you. With Sexton, I feel like this is kind of easy money. I feel like Sexton is going to score a ton of points. He'll be at worst the number two option there. Again, narrative street. I feel like the media loves him. He slaps the floor. He growls at people. He tries really hard. He'll put up a bunch of empty numbers on a team that's not so good. Give me Sexton at plus 650, and let's make this money.
I like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander too for the Clippers, because the Clippers actually got some pieces. I mean, maybe they can sneak into the playoffs as an 8 seed, and Gilgeous-Alexander might be their best point guard from day one, even though they have Pat Bev, they have Teodosic, so they got some talent. But I'm really high on Shai. I think he's awesome, so him at 40 to 1 is a good bet too, I think.
Mitch, considering that I've been with you at Vegas a couple of times, I feel like there's always a situation where you mention that something's easy money And then the narrator goes, it was not. So I don't know. I mean, for our listeners, take it as you will, this betting advice from my man Mitch. But guys, no.
Hold it. Don't be hating on Sharoni ponies. You know that work I put in last year.
we're talking about NBA awards, not horse races. Horse races, yeah, that's a different piece. That's all you meant. But NBA awards, that's a different story. But so no love for Wendell Carter Jr., guys. Like, a couple to stay away.
I
think Wendell Carter's awesome, but I just don't know if he's going to get the ball enough to put up. Right. The numbers needed to get votes. Instead, he's just going to be rebounding all Levine's misses all season, I would fear.
I put $25 on Wendell Carter when I heard that the Kings were offering Levine at 4-80. I just was like, oh, this is great. And yeah, that didn't work out.
Yeah, I would especially retract that bet now after Wendell Carter's latest Instagram story, where apparently he's having some female problems. That could have that could be detrimental to one's rookie campaign.
Yeah.
Hey, but you guys know who could be rookie of the year that you don't have listed here with your odds?
Bronny Jr.
Well, save that for 2023. I was actually gonna make the joke that Frank Nitti from the Drew League, if someone would give him a contract after he straight bodied Denzel Valentine in a recent game, I mean, cooking the dude.
That was not great.
So, Mitch, was that the first time you've seen that clip today when we were exchanging emails this afternoon?
So, like, I had seen it on Twitter, but I didn't read it. I mean, I didn't read his stories or actually watch it. I just kind of saw it through my timeline. Man, I saw it today. That was not good.
The descriptions don't do it justice. Just how badly Frank Nitti gave Valentine the business. I mean, it culminated with Frank looking at the crowd, yelling, "How is this dude in the league?
That's not great.
Ricky, should Denzel Valentine be forced to give up his roster spot?
I think so. Give me Frank Nitti on the Bulls all day. Nitti torching Valentine, looking over to see DeRozan in the crowd and yelling, "How is he in the league?" That is the most humiliating thing I can possibly imagine. If you're an NBA player, this dude was the manager of a cell phone store last year, and he's cooking the Bulls' first round pick. Denzel, man, you got to hit the gym, bro. That's embarrassing.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that Denzel, I mean, okay, to kind of reel back in and put some perspective on this, it is just the Drew League.
Man, getting cooked is getting cooked, though.
That's true.
Like, ain't nobody trying to get cooked like that. That was great.
There have definitely been many NBA players that have, you know, dropped by and held their own. And, I think it's fair to say that Denzel, a bit of a system player, maybe his game doesn't shine brightest on the summer league circuit.
Speaking of the game, did you see the game was squaring up with people on his own team? The game, like 40?
Hey, man. Once you're about that life, you're about that life.
The game apparently convinced Frank Nitti to get back into hoops, to like leave his 9-to-5 and start playing pro ball again. Goodness. The game was the man who convinced him to do that. Basketball is the best sport in the world.
I mean, one night, you know, the game is the best GM, and the next night he's just a dude that is throwing them hands at his teammate.
Have you ever been in a situation where you wanted to throw hands at your team? Like
I was just thinking about that. I cannot think of a single situation where it got that serious that I felt like disrespected by a teammate.
Felt it on the court though, like not from myself as a pacifist, but just like seeing other dudes on the court get heated before. There's been a couple times where I felt like it could happen. None of those guys were as intimidating as the game though.
Yeah. You don't want to mess with him and the crew he rolls with. So, I think we're all in agreement that the Bulls aren't going to be a playoff team this year, especially if we're thinking that they're barely going to exceed the 27.5 over under total. it looks like they do need to add a few pieces before legitimately contending. So I want to look ahead a little bit, basically look ahead almost a year from now. You know, a lot has been made, particularly by the Bulls front office, by how much flexibility this team is going to have with their cap space, even though it looks like a lot of teams are going to have a lot of cap space heading into next summer. The free agency class is expected to be pretty deep and loaded, with names like Kevin Durant, Kawhi Leonard, Kyrie Irving, even our old friend Jimmy Butler. Ricky, I want to take a way too early look at these prospects and get your take, you know, almost a year removed, on who the Bulls should realistically be targeting with the free agency class of 2019.
My guess is they're really not going to go after anyone. And really, the Jabari team option is the thing that hangs over all of this. Like, what are they going to do with Jabari? Do they bring him back for $20 million a year? Do they try to negotiate a long-term deal with him? And then how much less is he going to take than $20 million a year if he has a good season scoring-wise? So, I don't know. I mean, that feels like it could go any which way. One name that jumps out to me, though, if you're looking for, like, the splashy free agent signing for the Bulls next summer that I think is maybe somewhat realistic, at least the most realistic of all the big guys, how about Kemba Walker? The Bulls need a point guard. If the Bulls have to pay Chris Dunn, you know, $15 to $20 million a year, maybe they decide to walk away from that. They obviously need some shooting at the point guard position. Dunn doesn't do too much of that. So I think Kemba, maybe. I mean, he's probably getting a contract worth $30, $35 million a year. It depends if Charlotte wants to keep him. But I think of all the big names, he's the most realistic for the Bulls next year just because Dunn's a free agent and they might need a point guard.
Mitch, what's your take?
That's amazing, because that's exactly who I was going to say. The Bulls have traditionally done really well in that second class of free agents. So, like, the Carlos Boozer type, you know, he wasn't the top tier, but he was certainly the top of the second tier. Paul Gasol was the same way. Like, not a top free agent, but certainly, like, one of the better free agents. And I think Kemba Walker is going to be the same way. I think that the Bulls are going to need a point guard. I'm not sure that Chris Dunn is the guy. And they're gonna. And I think that's a realistic target for the Bulls. I think there's a chance that he'll be available. Will Charlotte really want to run it back with the team they've had for like 4 or 5 years? It's middling.
Yeah, they were trying to trade him last season, right?
Yeah. So I think Kemba Walker is a really interesting piece.
He's getting old though, too, man. Like, he's gonna be 30 this year. No, he'll be 29 this year, actually. But it's like, are you going to – Kemba Walker ages 30 through 34. I mean, are you really going to pay him $35 million a year? I love Kemba's game. I've been a fan of Kemba since he was a college player, but I don't know. It's tough when those guys are hitting their third contract because at that point they're on the downside of their career, but they're able to make the most money. So the Bulls – go ahead.
How old was Conley when he got his deal?
Was that his third contract as well? He had to be about the same age.
Yeah.
Maybe a year or two younger.
Yeah, and I feel like they probably regret that deal now. So I think you bring up a great point.
You know, I'm looking at the list of free agents, including restricted ones, and I just say, fuck it. Let's just roll out a five-man lineup of stretch fours and fives and sign Kristaps. You know, while everyone zigs, we zag. We stay hashtag light years ahead. I mean, we'll have Jabari running point with Bobby marking in Wendell Carter Jr. and Chris Stapps. That's that'll get us at least 28 wins, right?
Yeah.
Real talk though, D Rose, free agent. What percent chance do you put on it that the Bulls would bring him back?
We're gonna talk about something later on that made me legit sad. Like, I didn't cry because I'm a thug, but you know, there was like one.
Yeah, even thugs cry.
Just one tiny tear. I would be very, very, very happy to see Derek back. Just for like a cup of coffee. Just for a cup of coffee while we're bad.
Like the old man Scottie Pippen contract.
Yeah.
Is there any, speaking of which, is there any footage? I've tried to look this up in the past of any Scottie highlights from that 2003-2004 season. I've never seen it. Like, I still remember it. Like, I remember him signing and like playing, but like not really being effective. I mean, have you guys seen any YouTube clips of Scottie playing?
I'm Googling it right now, man. 2003?
I think it was 2003, 2004. I mean, it was super depressing. But anyways, no, I mean, look, if D Rose is taking minimum level contracts to play for the Minnesota Timberwolves, why not? Like, let's bring the dude back. I mean, he looked good in the playoffs. I mean, playoff D Rose could be a thing.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Sure.
I want them to just tank with the lineup of Joakim Noah, D Rose, Luol Deng, Lauri Markkanen, and I guess Zach LaVine, Jabari Parker. So, yeah.
Hey, I know that you guys are really up on your off-season workout videos, but there was one posted by, I believe the trainer's name is Chris Johnson, and he works out guys like Joakim. And Joakim looking pretty good in these off-season workouts, draining some threes. Tim's probably still hating, though.
Listen, I want nothing more. Even more than I want Derek to come back and just, like, put up bad stats on a bad team, I want the Noah resurgence of the stretch five so badly. Like, I want it so, so badly for Joakim Noah just to be out there and just give us just a crazy shooting season.
What if, like, the 2019 plan was really just to bring back Noah, Deng, Rose, Boozer?
If you haven't played for the Bulls or been from Chicago, you got a spot.
Well, I mean, that's pretty much what the Bulls scouting department's resources can reach. I mean, as far as they can reach. So one of the things that was very heavily covered, a lot was made over the past week, of course, was LeBron James's criticism of Donald Trump. And of course, Trump's Twitter fingers in response to LeBron questioning his intelligence. And of course, there's a lot to digest with that exchange. Obviously, we're not a political podcast. I probably won't dive too much into the political spectrum. But there was a Bulls-related element to it, because Trump, in somewhat of a genius move, and I hate to admit it, basically redirected the conversation from being about politics to an MJ versus LeBron debate when he ended his tweet with, "I like Mike." I mean, as much as I hate the dude, like, I mean, that's next level shit right there, to redirect and distract, you know, the following audience. So with that, MJ somehow gets dragged into this when it didn't, you know, involve him at all, and basically is forced to respond, and he ends up releasing a pretty bland statement indicating, the quote was, "I support LJ. He's doing an amazing job for his community." And that was it. End quote. Mitch, here's my question to you. Should MJ have said more?
First off, it's not clear whether he was talking about LeBron James or Larry Johnson. like we were talking about before, calling him LJ is ridiculous. But with that said, like, no, I mean, it does nothing. It's a no-win situation. Going back and forth with Trump it gets you nowhere, right? He's obviously trying to distract from all the things that are going on. This is part of a scheme to kind of get people to talk about this silly stuff and not the other stuff that we don't need to get into. But I just don't see how MJ wins here. If he goes hard against Trump, right? Trump's still the president, and he's now gotten all this talk about this instead of that other stuff. So I wasn't mad at what MJ said. I'd even prefer that he just said nothing, to tell you the truth.
I mean, it was a weak guess statement, but hey, Republicans buy sneakers too. Ricky, do you have any thoughts on this?
No, it's bad. I laughed at LJ just like everyone else, but I think you had the tweet that said that's a Wizards MJ statement, not a Bulls MJ statement. That was the final word on this topic.
Yeah, I had a few people in my mentions being like, "Well, the Bulls MJ never said anything when it came to social issues." I'm like, "All right, you're missing the joke here." I mean, I try not to dive into those issues, especially on my Twitter feed. But yeah, I mean, it was also, I commend LeBron, kind of going back to what you were saying, Mitch, about how he's not said anything since Trump came out with his tweet, and so you know, hashtag respect to my president, Ron James. Hey, so guys, we'll wrap up with this. A couple weeks ago, maybe it was just a week ago, the NBA decided to have hashtag NBA Dunk Week on social media. I think this is the first time they've ever done it. I could be mistaken. It seems pretty genius on their part, just because it comes during a pretty dead time of the year in August when there's really not much going on. And basically, I don't know what the objective of it was other than to showcase a bunch of dunks that have happened in past years. So it started getting – it got me thinking about what would have been the Bulls dunk of the century.
Okay.
Meaning start since 2000, and I narrowed it down to four nominees and actually posed this question on Twitter as a poll. I was actually pretty shocked by the results. And before we even, you know, revealed these results, which you can also check out on Twitter at the Bull Show, let me give a quick summary of these nominees and see what you guys would have voted for. Again, this is Dunk of the Century by a Bulls player. The first nominee, and this actually goes in chronological order, of course, Rozan Dragic with the infamous Stacey King call of "Did you not get the memo?" He's from Chicago. Really, I think kind of was like the birth of D-Rose, if you want to look at it that way. The second nominee, Joakim Noah, with the breakaway dunk on Paul Pierce during Game 6 of the first round of the 2009 playoffs against the Celtics. That came during triple overtime with less than 45 seconds left of a tied game. Then fast forward a couple years later, Taj Gibson on Dwayne Wade in Game 1 of the 2011 Eastern Conference Finals. Really punctuated that Game 1 win. And then lastly, same series, Derrick Rose splitting the defense and just yamming on Joel Anthony. Those are the four nominees. I'll start with you, Ricky. What would have been your pick for Bulls Dunk of the Century?
I got to go with one
that I didn't mention.
Yeah, I got to go with the time Tyrus Thomas wore a headband to the dunk contest, jumped over Ben Gordon, and then said, "I don't give a fuck about the dunk contest," and just showing up for the paycheck. That's my Bulls Dunk of the Century. And also, let's not forget the time Tyrus Thomas like literally jumped over Rasul Butler. That was another one from way back in the day. Search that one on YouTube if you don't remember it. He like swats a shot, runs down the court, and then just slams all over Rasul Butler. It was beautiful. With that being said, I feel like a great toss-up between the career-defining Noah dunk and the career-defining Rose dunk. I got to go with Rose just because it was a little bit more memorable, I feel like. And
Rozan Dragic?
Rozan Dragic. I got to go with that one.
Mitch?
Listen, you cannot go wrong with, I think, all four of these dunks. My dunk is Noah Pierce. It was the greatest basketball game I've ever seen. We had like no idea how good that Bulls team would become, and we learned it in that series. Nobody gave the Bulls a chance to compete in that series. We fouled out Paul Pierce, which was amazing. I think it was the greatest. It's the greatest game I've ever seen. Any sports game I've ever seen, and to be in the building for that, and just Joakim Noah, just man, it was the best for me.
You know, how about greatest dunk on the Bulls? I'm saying LeBron jumping over John Lucas III, which I still can't believe that actually happened. LeBron hurdled over a Bulls player to finish an alley-oop. An underrated LeBron cramming all over James Johnson and, like, his soul leaving his body. That was in, like, you know, his first stint with the Cavs. Two great dunks on the Bulls as well.
Was that the Lucas game where he scored, like, 30 on the Cavs?
I hope so, because he definitely had one of those. I'm not sure if they were the same.
No. That was in Miami, where the Bulls are running a zone defense, and LeBron, yeah, literally just jumped over him like he was a stack of books.
Yeah.
So let me reveal the results from my Twitter poll. There were almost 300 votes, and the winner with 50% of the votes was Rozan Dragic.
Yeah, listen.
That wasn't surprising to me, but what was surprising was that at only 9% of the votes was Joakim on Pierce.
Yeah, I think that was before the Bulls got cool, right? Because that wasn't like Derek wasn't Derek yet. And I just don't think that folks were really there weren't that many eyes, right? You know, the Rose dunks were from 2011 and back. The Taj and Wade dunk, I think it was in 2011 too, when the Bulls were really good. But listen, you can't go any wrong. Like, that Rose dunk is incredible. Like, rarely ever is the best thing about a dunk the landing. And the way, like, Rose landed on that dunk was amazing. And then the stank face. Like, I mean, just, like, Rose's stank face game is crazy. And then also this Aaron Gray just, like, not knowing what was happening. Like, legitimately just being super confused about what he saw. Listen, I am not hating on that dunk at all. And obviously the Stanky King call, I want to go higher. Shout out to Kanye. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I guess for me, context definitely matters. And the fact that it was game six, triple overtime, less than a minute left. And literally the Bulls season was online, because if they lose the game, the Celtics win the series 4-2. Tied ball game at 123 apiece. I mean, I don't know if at that point we really knew what Joakim was capable of. And the fact that he not only stole the ball, but went basically 70 feet down court, full speed, fouled out, you know, a hated rival in Paul Pierce, fouling him out of the game, putting the Bulls up by three. That was just beautiful to watch. Yeah, so I think context matters.
Yeah, I mean, I remember people were hyped for game seven. Like, it was like, could the Bulls shock the world? So, yeah, that was a great series.
A fun Bulls show trivia fact here for you. I think the first time that we, like, legitimately hung out was game seven of that Bulls-Celtics series. Because that was the same night of the Pacquiao Hatton fight, maybe?
Yeah. I mean, that's probably true, but we both went down to Illinois. We both played at MP a lot. I'm sure I gave you buckets a bunch of times, so that's probably the first time that we hung out. So, you know,
that's what we consider fake news. Those are considered fake news around this part of town. All right. I guess that'll do it for this episode of The Bull Show. Make sure you subscribe to the show on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter at The Bull Show. You can follow my man Mitch at Sharon ILJP. Do I get that acronym right?
You got it.
And of course, Ricky at SBN _ Ricky. Guys, pleasure as always. Hopefully we'll have even more content in the weeks to come with The Bull Show. See you guys next week.
Shout out to Beef Here Up Show.